Today's daf is Chulin daf Ayin Beis. We left off, we're at the very top of daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. We're in the middle of discussing the issue of Tumah Balua and Tahara Balua. That we've been saying that if something is Tameh, but it's Balua, it's not able to be Metameh other things. And if it's something is Tahar and is Balua, it's not able to become Tameh. So the Gemara is going to first discuss today why it is that the Mishnah said that if the midwife touches the dead fetus when it's still inside the mother, that the midwife becomes Tameh from touching the dead fetus. The dead fetus is Tumah Balua, and Tumah Balua does not have the ability to be Metameh anything. And then the Gemara is going to get into Machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, whether a dead fetus can be metame, we're making an assumption over here that Tumah Balua cannot be metame and that the dead fetus can be metame. So we're going to see that that's actually Machlokas Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, whether a dead fetus can be metame and what each shita is based on and how that carries over to other discussions such as Revi'is Dam Minameis being metame. And then in the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Mishnah is going to talk about the Tumah state of the tumah status of a limb that emerges before shechita. So let's say the limb sticks out of the animal, of the limb of the fetus comes out of the mother, and then you shecht the mother. So we've been discussing, or we've already discussed, what the halachic status as far as eating that limb is concerned. But now we're going to talk about the tumah status of that limb that comes out before shechita, and then the Gemara is going to talk about why the rest of the fetus is considered to have touched that Eiver HaYotzei, meaning it really never touched the Eiver HaYotzei other than the fact that it was once connected to that Eiver HaYotzei, but the Mishnah is going to tell us that it's considered to have touched the Eiver HaYotzei. The Gemara is going to explain why we make that assumption. So let's just chazer over the very last point that we made yesterday. We were discussing why it is that Rabba has to tell us this din of Tumah Balua and Tahara Balua if we already learn it beferish from a Mishnah in Maseches Mikvaos. So the Gemara answered that from the Mishnah Mikvaos we would not have learned the din of Tumah Balua and Tahara Balua, because we could have explained the Mishnah McVall spoke about someone who swallowed a ring that was Tameh and then or swallowed a ring that was Tahar and then went into a house that had a mace in it and then came out of the house and then vomited up the ring, that the ring remains Tahar, right? It spoke about those kinds of cases. So it could be the reason that the ring is not Metameh, the person who swallows it, is because it's only Nogea, the person, in the Beis HaStarim. And there's another rule, aside from Tumah Balua, that Maga Beis HaStarim is Eino Metameh. So that's why if he goes with that ring into an Ol HaMeis, it doesn't become Tameh, because Maga Beis HaStarim is not Metameh. So the last thing Gemara said is, yeah, kikama rabba kigon shabala shtei tabos achas mei avachas Torah. Rabba's chiddush is that even when you don't have the svara of maga beis hastarim, a person swallowed two rings, one of them is tameh, one of them is tar, and they're touching each other. So the tar one should have become tameh from touching the tameh one, because that's not a maga beis hastarim. They're touching each other on their surfaces, but they're both touching each other inside, in a balua area of the person. So that even in that case, the tameh ring is not going to be metameh the tahar ring. And the reason can only be because it's tumah balua is not metames and tahar balua is not nitmes. So according to the chiddush of Rabbah, it turns out that that's also going to be the reason for the Mishnah Mikvaos. The reason for the Mishnah Mikvaos is not based on beis hastarim. It's based on this inyan of tumah balua and tahar balua. So that's what we left off with yesterday. That the idea of tumah balua. So says the Gemara, Va'ubar v'chaya, once you're going to accept the principle that Tumah Balua does not have the ability to be Metameh, what about the case in our Mishnah where the Chaya sticks her hand into the mother and she touches the Ubar, the deceased Ubar that's in the womb? Dikshtei tabos, I mean, that's more like the case of two rings that are both swallowed and are both inside the human body, because the Chaya's hand is inside the human body right now together with the Ubar. V'kametameh, and nevertheless the Ubar l'Chaya, nevertheless the Ubar is still Metameh l'Chaya. So you see that Tumah Balua is Metameh, so it must be the reason that the woman is Tahora, meaning the mother is Tahora, is purely a Maga Beis HaStarim issue, but not a Tumah Balua issue. You see, this flies in the face of the entire concept of Tumah Balua. So it says, Mar Amarava Shaini Ubar Hol V'Sof Halotzeis. No, an Ubar is different, because the Ubar eventually is going to come out of the mother, and anything that's Sof Halotzeis, even if it has not yet come out, is not called called Balua, and therefore has the ability to be Metame the Chaya. But a Taba'as is not Sofa Latzeis, and therefore it's considered to be Balua and is not Metame. So essentially what we're saying is that a fetus is not really Balua, because ultimately that fetus is going to have to come out. But even though it's Sofa Latzeis, though, the Rishonim point out that the woman, the mother, is still going to be tahora because it's a maga beis astarim. That's not metame. So says the Gemara Vayter. Amar Rava, uber sofa lotzeis tabas. In sofa lotzeis, says, I don't understand. How can you distinguish between the uber and the tabas? That the uber eventually is going to come out. Tabas is also eventually going to come out. So if Rava holds that the tabas is considered balua, even though it's eventually going to come out, so the uber should also be balua, even though it's eventually going to come out. So we're back to the kasha. Why is it that the uber is metame the chaya? It should be like the case of shtei tabaos, and therefore it should be tuma balua that doesn't have the ability to be metame. So Ella Amar Rava. So Rava explains. In fact, this is difficult. The Achronim ask, how could it be that when Rabba offered his initial answer, that Shai Uber Sofalot says that he didn't think of Rava's rejoinder, right? How could he not have realized that Rava's going to ask about the Taba'as? So that's difficult to understand what even the Havamina was. So Ella Amar Rava. So Rava suggests instead, Pumbedisa Yadi Taima Da Hamilsa. The people, the Chacham in Pumbedisa, they know how to explain this. Umanu, who is the Chacham that you would called Pumbedisai, Rav Yosef. Damar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Tumazu Einu Midivri Torah, Ela Midivri Sofrim. This Tumah is not a Tumah Midaraisa. In Achinami, the fact that when the Chaya touches the Uber, she becomes Tamei, it's only a Dimid Rabbanan. Tumah Balua is not Metamei, she would not be Tamei on a Daraisa level. My Einu Midivri Torah, Ela Midivri Sofrim. That's a funny way to say that there's a Din that's only Mid Rabbanan. To say that it's Einu Midivri Torah, Ela Midivri, just tell me that it's Midivri Sofrim, and I get that it's Rabbanan. What are we highlighting when we're saying that it's Einu Midivri Torah? So says Mar Tilo Tema, that you shouldn't say that Aliba to Rabbi Akiva, that the Mishnah only fits according to Rabbi Akiva, Da Amar Uber B'mei Isha Tamei. And we're going to see Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel's Machlokas just in a few moments, a little later on the Amud, but you might think that our Mishnah follows only the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, that a deceased Uber inside the mother is Tamei and able to be Mitamei, because he holds that Palua is not Matzil on Tuma from being Mitamei other things, or on Tahara from becoming Tameh. And therefore the Uber has the ability to be Metameh the Chaya min HaTorah. Why is the mother Tahora? Maga Beis HaStarim, that's a separate issue. But as far as Tuma Balua is concerned, there is no such concept of Balua according to Rabbi Akiva. Ela Afil Rabbi Shmuel. Now we're trying to highlight that even if you assume like Rabbi Shmuel Domer Uber Meisha Tahor, that there is such a notion of Balua, and therefore the Uber inside the mother's womb is going to be Tahor, Gazru Batuma Mitrabanan. Yeah, that's on a Daraisa level, but there's still a Tum Midrabanan. So when we say Eina Midivri Torah, El Midivri Sofrim, we're saying you don't have to assume like Rabbi Akiva that there is no Tumah Balua at all. That there's no concept of Tumah Balua at all. But even if you assume like Rabbi Shmuel that there is a concept of Tumah Balua on a Daraisa level, Midrabanan, they made it Tameh even though it's Balua. My Taima, why did the Rabban make such a gzeira though? Meaning if something being balua loses the capacity to transmit tuma, so why would the Rabban change that? So Amar Rav Hoshaya, gzeira shem yotzi vlad rosho chutz l'prozdar. This was a gzeira that the vlad might stick his head outside of the prozdar, and the head, and therefore the vlad would have a status of a baby that was already born and will therefore be metame. The chaya won't realize that the vlad has already stuck its head out, and she's going to think that she's tahora. So that's why they made such a gzeira. Tosus points out that Rav Hoshaya Dafka says rosho, even though if it sticks its hand out, it's already not tuma balua, and the chaya that touches it would not be tahora. But it's a gzeiras hakasuv according to Rabbi Shmuel that's learned from Me'al Pnei Sada, that anything that's not yalud is considered balua and is not metame. So only Yitzias Rosho or Rubo is going to give it the status of yalud and give it the ability to be metame. But if it only sticks its hand out, even though it's not actually physically balua anymore, it still wouldn't be metame. That's the way we understand that Rabbi Shmuel would have such a gzeres hakasav. That's how Tosos understands. Now, when it comes to a roa, when it comes to a shepherd sticking his hand into the behema, where the Mishnah had said that he's tahar, that's because there's no reason to make such a gzera to be metamehim shemi yotzi avlad as rosho, because the rechem of a behema is much more exposed, and if the vlad sticks its rosh out of the rechem of the behema, you would know about it. Whereas by an isha, it's much more covered by the thighs, and it could be very easy to miss the fact that the vlad has already stuck its head out. So says Gemara, okay, so that's the reason for the gzera, because maybe the vlad will stick its head out, already be yolid, and now it has the ability to be metame. Ihachi ishanami. Well, then the mother should also become tame, because it's no longer magabes astarim. Says Gemara, no, isha margeshes biatzma. The mother will be aware if the baby has stuck his head out. She'll feel that. She'll feel if the baby has stuck its head out. So she'll know. We're not afraid that she's going to get confused by that. So says Gemara, v'tema l'lechaya. Okay, so if the mother knows, why isn't she communicating that to the midwife? And then the midwife will know. Meaning she wouldn't tell the midwife something like that. So says Gemara, Tarita, she's a little busy. So, she's going through childbirth right now. So women during childbirth are not always the most effective communicators. And therefore, the midwife may not get the message that the baby had stuck its head out. So my Rabbi Shimon, my Rabbi Kiva. So we made reference to this machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva about a deceased ubar b'mei imo, whether it's metame or not. Where is this machlokas? What's this machlokas about? Titania, there's a brisa. The pasuk says with regard to tumas meis, v'kalash ar yiga al panei asada. Pasuk continues, b'chalal cherav b'mei, so b'etam adam b'kever yitzma shivas yamim. So from lashon of al panei asada, we learn that lohotzi ubar b'mei isha, that only that which is exposed is tamei, as opposed to an ubar b'meisha that's not metamei, because it's balua, it's not galui. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael, that is the shita of Rabbi Yishmael. But Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva disagrees, and he says, no, l'rabos golol v'dofek, that pasuk is coming to tell me, when it says al p'nei asada, it's telling me, you know what else is included in tumah? It's not excluding things that are covered up, it's including anything else that's al p'nei asada, like the cover of the aron and the walls of the aron that the mace goes in, that they're metame like a mace itself, they're even metame ba'awel. Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel holds that a gol v'dofek is metame, but he holds that you don't need to learn it from a pasuk, because gol v'dofek hilchsa gemirila. That's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that gol v'dofek is metame ba'awel, and therefore al p'nei asada can be used to tell me that the uber v'meimo is not metame. The Ramban raises the question that since Rabbi Shmuel holds that an uber mace is considered tumah b'lua, so why does he need to be made from the pasuk v'kol asher yiga al p'nei asada? We already learned from va'ochel es nivlasa that tumah b'lua is not metame. So he says that without the pasuk of the uber, we wouldn't have known, we would not have learned from Nevela that an Uber has a din of Tumah Belua, because we would have said that since it's derech, it's the derech for it to be there, it's not considered to be Belua. I would have thought, says Ramban, that Belua is only something that's unnaturally Belua, but something that's just the natural way that it grows, that the Uber is the Meimo, I wouldn't have known that that's Belua. That's why I need a separate drasha. Now, what are a Golel and Dofek? So this is a major machlokas rishonim. I translated the words golel v'dofek, golel as the covering of the aron ames, dofek as the walls of the aron, and that is in fact how Rashi understands it. However, there is a Tosas that appears a few places in Shas, most famously in Ksubis, because the yeshivas learn Ksubis. So at the very beginning of Masechus Ksubis in Daf Dalet Amud Beis, Tosas asks on Rashi, from our Gemara, from Chulin Ayin Beis, that Rabbi Shmuel learns from Kol Asher Yiga Al Pnei Asada to L'Rabos Kol Al V'Dofek. So it sounds like the Aron is Omed Megula Al Pnei Asada. Meaning, if you're saying the Kol Al V'Dofek or the Aron, and it's derived from the words Al Pnei Asada, so the Aron, it's like exposed on the Sada. Well, if we're talking about the Aron that you bury a person in, that's not exposed Al Pnei Asada. That's underground, and you cover it with dirt. It's not Megula Al Pnei Asada. So the Ritva says that it could be that their minhag was to lift the Aron on the ground a little bit so that it could be seen from the outside, that everyone will realize that there's a kever. that they didn't bury 6 feet under, that they buried the majority of the Aron under, and they had it protrude a little bit above the ground. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, it was just misunderstanding the whole definition of the term. Golel is the large stone that they put on a kever that we call a matseva. That's what golel means. And the krovim are golel, that stone, on the kever as a simon. They roll that stone onto the kever as a simon. So it's called golel from the golel ha'evan that you have by Yaakov Avinu. Dofek are two stones, that's one by the top, by the head of the body, one by the foot of the body, and the golel rests on those stones, meaning the stone was not in a standing matseva, the golel was not a standing matseva, it was like in Eretz Yisrael, the long stones that run from head to foot, that they have, and the dofek were the two stones that long stone would actually rest on. So that's actually al pnei asada, and that therefore is able to be is what's metame ba'ol, not referring to the aron. So that's the major machlokes rishonim. The aruch understands that dofik are the avanim that you put next to the mace from its two sides. The gol is the even that you put on that stone. Again, exactly like similar to the Rabbeinu Tam. Now this machlokes is nogea to a couple of other halachos. First of all, it's nogea to hilchos avelus, because avelus begins mistimas hagolel. So what's called stimas hagolel? Meaning if it's the covering of the aron, so as soon as they close the box, that avelus is going to begin. If it's the placing of the matseva, well, wait a second. So how come it's a matseva sometimes a year later, right? So stimas hagolel is the beginning of avelus, and it's also nogea to hilchos tumas kohanim, because a kohen is allowed to be metame to shiva krovim only until yistam hagolel, only until you have a stimas hagolel. That's why kohanim, even though they're allowed to be metame to their parents when they bury them, but they're not allowed to be metame. They're not allowed to go visit the kever directly. Meaning that's why the kohanim try to get kvarim that are toward the edge of a cemetery so that they could stand on the outside to go visit, because they can't go. I just got a shaila yesterday. A kohen told me that his daughter surprised him. Happy birthday! She bought him kever in Har HaZeisim. So very nice. It's not a cheap gift. So she bought him and his wife kvarim on Har HaZeisim. And his son went nuts. Har HaZeisim, I'm not going to be able to visit you there. I want to be able to visit you. Now his son happens to not be married, doesn't have children, so he wants to know: is he allowed to leave in his tzava'a that he wants to get buried in a cemetery in America, right at the edge of a cemetery where his son could visit, and then put in his tzava'a, and then the Achra Me'ev Esrim of my son. When my son passes away, then I want to be moved to Eretz Yisrael. Just keep his son happy, and then to be moved to Har HaZeisim. But anyway, so this is the halacha is that Tumas Kohanim begins dafka by Stimas HaGolel. So the halacha Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Yordei Shinayin Hay that the Avelus begins when the person is buried and the Stimas HaKever Ba'afar is completed, that they covered up the entire kever with dirt. That's the beginning of the Avelus. The Taz quotes Rashi that Stimas HaGolel is the covering of the Aron, but it means covering over the entire Aron with dirt. As far as Tumas Kohen to his Krovim, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Sim Shinayin Gimel, that he's not Metame Ad Shiyistam HaGolel. The Shach writes that the Bach writes that the Halach is like Rashi, and that even according to Rashi, the Golel is the Kisuy Aron, but it means that it's closed off in a bias. It does not mean that it's Stamo B'Bayis. It means Mishiyistam Kisuy Aron B'Kever, that it's closed off in the Kever. So it doesn't mean when you close the lid of the Aron before the funeral. No, it means when it's closed inside the kever. That's what Rashi means. And the raya is from the Sugyum Sech Shabbos Kufnun Beis, where that Tosis, by the way, also appears, that anything that's Sha'omrim Fnei Meis, Yodea Ad Sheyus, that the Meis knows about it, Ad Sheyusto Magolel. Right? It's a discussion of exactly what the Meis is aware of. So his own Hespedim, he's listening in, because it's prior to the Stimas HaGolel. So what does that mean, prior to the Stimas HaGolel? It means prior to the dirt covering the Aron, because the Gemara over there derives it from Pasuk in Koheles, the Yashav Ha'afar Ala Aretz Kishahaya. So it's about the dirt covering the Aron itself. So that's what we assume lehalacha, that the avelus begins and the yisrof tumas kohanim begins dafka after the person is buried. So okay, says Gemara of Rabbi Akiva. Now Rabbi Akiva darshins from the pasuk the din of golo the dofek. So uber meisha tamim midaraisa minalei. How does he know that an uber b'meisha is tamim midaraisa? So where does he learn that halacha from? So Rabbi Shaya amakra hanogea b'meis b'nefesh. That the pasuk says hanogea b'meis. Benefesh Adam Asher Yamos. So from the fact that it talks about a mace that's inside a Nefesh Adam, where do you ever have a mace that's inside a Nefesh Adam? Ezu mace she benefesh Adam, haviyomer ze uber meisha. That can only be referring to an uber inside the mother's womb, that it's also metame like a mace itself, even though it's inside the mother. So once Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel learn their dinim from the pasuk, so the Gemara is going to have to explain what does each one do with the other one's pasuk. Rabbi Shmuel, what's Rabbi Shmuel going to do with the pasuk of Hanogeya b'meis? B'nefesh, haimi b'yalei l'revi'is dam haba'a min ha'meis. He uses that pasuk to teach me about a revi'is dam that comes from a meis, shemitama, that it's not only is the basra and the atzamos of a meis mitame, the dam of a meis is also mitame. Now clearly, when we say revi'is dam, the fact that dam in a meis is mitame, that's midaraisa, that's from the pasuk. The fact that it's a revi'is that's mitame, that's shiurim, that's a shir. So that's halacha. That's what the Achron point out. Even though we call it revi'is dam in ames metame, it means that dam in ames is metame. That's what we derive from the pasuk and the shir, like all shirim are lachol Moshe Misinai. Shenemar hanugeh b'meis b'nefesh ha'adam. Pasuk says hanugeh b'meis b'nefesh ha'adam asher yamos. So we darshan from the double lashon b'meis b'nefesh ha'adam asher yamos. So ezu nefesh ha'adam shemetame haviyomer zo revi'is dam. What is a nefesh ha'adam that's metame? It's a revi'is dam. We assume that the person's life is talui on a revi'is dam. So Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Akiva who darshan's the pasuk to teach us an uber meis and not a revi'is dam. L'tamei he's l'shitaso that he holds that it doesn't have to be a din of a revi'is dam from a single meis, that the nefesh of the adam comes from that revi'is dam. Nah, af revi'is dam abami shnei meisin. Even if you were to combine shminis of dam to make one from two different meisim and to make one revi'is of dam where it's from two different metamab. Even that's mitame ba'ol. So you can't darshan the pasuk anogeh b'meis b'nefesh that dafka the dam of a single nefesh is mitame. According to Rabbi Kiva, it doesn't have to be of a single nefesh. It can come from two different meisim. Ditanya, because the Brisa tells us Rabbi Kiva Omer minayin l'revi'is dam haba mishnei meisim shem mitame ba'ol. How do I know that a revi'is dam that comes from two separate meisim that is mitame ba'ol? Shneamar val kol nafshos meis lo yavo. Meis is something that causes misa, which is a revi'is dam of a person from. So from the Lashon Rabbim of Nafshos, that it tells me, Shtei Nafashos v'shir Echad, that even if it's two different people, but it only has one Shir Revius, it's also Matame. So according to Rabbi Akiva, the Pasuk B'meis B'nefesh is extra to tell me that an Ubar Meis B'meimo is therefore Matame. That's what Rabbi Akiva darshins the Pasuk. Good, so that is that Sugya. So now the Gemara moves on from the Sugya of Tumah Balua and is going to go back to the discussion of what happens when the animal that's giving birth has the fetus sticks one limb out and then you shach the mother. So what's the status of that limb? So as we said, we've already discussed what the status of that limb is with regard to eating it, but now we're going to discuss what the status of the limb is with regard to Tumah and Tahara. In order to understand our Mishnah, it's helpful to understand four basic principles, four basic halachos. One basic halacha that we need to understand is the halacha called Tumas Nevela, that any behema or chaya that dies becomes an avatuma, a kazayis basa from a nevela is metame adam, v'kelim, ochlim, mashkim, anything that touches it, it's metame. It. Adam and kelim that touch a nevela become a rishon l'tuma, and therefore can in turn still be metame ochlim, mashkim. Food that touches a nevela is mekabel tumah midaraisa, but is not able to be metame other food afterwards. By mashkim, it's a machlokas, whether it's mekabel tumah min haTorah, and if it's metame other things min haTorah. So that's one. Tumas nevela. A behemah or chaya dies without the benefit of shechita, whether it's kosher behemah, chaya, not kosher behemah, doesn't matter without the benefit of shechita, that is a nevela. Then we have shechita mitaheres. A second halacha called shechita mitaheres. A tumas nevela applies to both a kosher behema that dies and a non-kosher behema that dies, behema Torah, behema Tmeah. But a behema Tahora that gets shechted, a cow that gets shechted, is not a nevela because the shechita was mitar mitei nevela. But if you were to shecht a pig, you were to shecht a camel, you were to shecht some animal that is not a kosher animal, even though it went through shechita, it's still mitame tumas nevela. There's no notion of shechita mitaharas by a behema Tmeah. So it would still have the status of nevela. Third halacha, Tumas Eiver Menachai, an Eiver that is that comes off of a living animal and has and is defined as an Eiver. The definition of an Eiver is Basu Gidin Vatsamos. If it has Basu Gidin Vatsamos, it's Metame, just like a Nevela would be Metame. Basar that comes off of a chai or from an Eiver Menachai is not Metame. It has to be a full Eiver, Basu Gidin Vatsamos. So this is darshaned from the pasuk by Tumas Nevelos, v'chiyamos mina behema. So it's mashma that if a chelik of the behema, while the rest of the animal is still alive, a chelik of the behema dies, it still has the same status of a nevela, but it's got to be a chelik that's doma lebehema, that has basa gidin vatsamos. So an eiver menachai is metame like a nevela. So halacha number one, Tumas Nevela. Halacha number two, shchita will be metayer kosher animals from Tumas Nevela. Halacha number three, eiver menachai has Tumas Nevela. And halacha number four, probably most importantly for us, a vlad shebimei habehema. The Gemara darshaned, we just had a couple of days ago, from the pasuk for kol behema, bebehema osotechelu, that anything that's inside the behema you're allowed to eat, including the vlad that's inside a behema. The shechita of the mother is matir, the vlad, in the womb. And the shechita is also, not only is it matir to eat, it's also mitaher from Tumas Eiver Menachai if the Vlad is alive, and from Tumas Nevela if the Vlad is dead. So if you pull out of the deceased mother, you shechted the mother, and you pull out a dead fetus, a dead baby, that animal is not going to have Tumas Nevela. But if at the Shas Shechita one limb of the Ubar had emerged outside of the Rechem, that limb is Asur b'achila, because it's not nitar b'shechita simo, and our mission is going to discuss, and what about the tuma of that limb? I know the rest of the animal doesn't have tumas nevela. Someone sent me a video on WhatsApp yesterday of a cow that they showing the shechita of a cow. Is this going around? Yeah, the shechita of it. No? If you want, I could send it. It shows that they shechted a cow, and then right away they cut open the stomach and they pull out twins. They pull out two live baby cows after the shechita. So they made ben pakuas over there, right? So that's what our mission is going to discuss is what if one of those babies had stuck out its limb before the shechita of the mother. So we know the babies, even if they're dead, are not going to have a din of tumas nevela. They're not going to have a din of tumas eiver menachai. But what about that limb? Okay, so now with that backdrop, says the Mishnah, behema mekasha lele. If a behema is going through labor, v'hotzi ubar es yado, and the ubar sticks out its hand. It's a discussion in the Rishonim, is it that the ubar stuck out its hand because it was such a difficult labor? That's what Rabbeinu Gershom understands, and Tosfos understands, that the koshi aleido caused the ubar to try to get out, so that's why it stuck out one of its arms. But the Tiferes Yisrael says, no, it's the opposite. That's what made it such a difficult labor, that the fetus is sticking out one of its hands. Okay, so it's the chicken and egg thing, but it was not going well. And the Uber stuck out its hand. V'chatacha. So the shepherd cut off the hand of the Uber. V'acharkach shachar esimo. And then he shechted the mother. The mother. Habasar tahar. The basar of the Uber and the behema is tahar. Because the Uber and the behema are not makabal tuma mechayim. Shachar esimo v'acharkach chatacha. Habasar maga nevela. If you shecht the mother and then you cut off the yad, the basar is tamei tumas maga nevela. As if it touched a nevela. Divra meir. Rameir holds the shechita is not going to be metaher the aver, because the shechita, when you shech the animal, it's as if the aver is already nechtach me'a ubar, it's as if it's already cut off and separated from the ubar. It's like an aver menachai that's metamik in nevela. And the ubar that's mechuber to that aver is nogea in that aver, and therefore it's tame from touching that aver. So the limb that emerged is tame like aver menachai. The rest of the fetus that's on the inside is as tame as that which touches aver menachai, or that which touches nevela. And the Chum say, no, the basar of the Uber itself is tamei maga trefa shchuta, like something that touched a treifa that was shechted, which is tor min haTorah. That's only tamei midrabanan to be metamei kachin that touches it. The Chum hold that the shechita works to be metari even the aver that had emerged from tumas nevela, even though it's not matir b'achila. We already discussed not matir that limb b'achila, but it's enough to be metahirit because therefore the rest of the fetus is not considered to have touched an aver minachai or a nevela. So mamatzinu betreifa. So the Chacham explained their shita why this should be the case that we're metahir that aver. So they say, well, we learn it out from treifa sheshchitas metaharta that shchita is metahir treifa from tumas nevela, even though it's not matir b'achila, because obviously a treifa you can't eat, so, but shchita still at least takes away the tumas nevela status. So shchita is behemah metahir as aver. So the shchita of a behemah should be metahir the aver from tumas nevelos, even though it's outside of the animal and is not mutar b'achila. I mean, we just try to come up with another model, another example of something that even after the shchita you're not going to be allowed to eat. Well, does the shchita still work to at least be metahir? So by treifa you're not allowed to eat it, but the shchita works to be metahir. So here also, this aver ayotze, you're not allowed to eat it, but the shchita should be able to work to be metahir it. So Amalem Ramei responded, that's not a comparison at all. Lo, im tiara shchitas treifa osa, dover shegufa. Titaris Aver Dover Sheinu Gufa. When you shecht the treifa, you're being metaher the actual animal that you're shechting. So the shechita will take away the status of tumas nevela from the animal that you're shechting. But what does that have to do with an ubar who stuck a limb out of the animal? That's not the guf of the mother at all. You're doing the shechita on the mother. This is the guf of the fetus that has a part of the guf that has emerged. So Rameir doesn't understand why the Chachamim would make this comparison. We're going to have to see in the Gemara, and tomorrow's daf, the Gemara is going to discuss what the response to that would be, because it seems like a shtar kataina, that these two things have absolutely nothing to do with each other. So the Gemara is going to discuss that. Okay, how do I know that we're making an assumption on this whole conversation? And that is that if you have a treifa animal and you shecht it, that the result is not a nevela. That it's you can't eat it, it's not kosher, because it's treifa, but it's not a nevela. How do I know that that's the case? So minayin l'treifa sheshchitas mitaharta. How do I know that shchita will be mitahar treifa? Maybe it's not mitahar treifa. So especially for the following logic, I'll explain to you why it shouldn't be. Behema tmeya asura ba'achila. A non-kosher animal is asur to eat. And so is a treifa also asur to eat, meaning a treifa cow is just as asur to eat as a pig, let's say, right? They're both not kosher to eat, so we should compare the two. Ma behema tameya ein shchitas mitaharta af treifa lo titare en shchita. Doesn't stand to reason that since when you shecht the pig, the result is a nevela with full tumas nevela, when you shecht the treifa, the result should also be a nevela with full tumas nevela. So why would they be any different from each other? How do I know that that's taka true? That a behemah tameya, that if you shecht the pig, that the result is a nevela? So that's a drasha in the Torah's Kohanim in Parsha Shmini. It says over there, l'chari, you don't need a pasuk, you can learn from Memetzinu, from a sheretz, that a sheretz is also ba'achila, and the behemah tameya is also ba'achila. So just like by a sheretz, ein shchitas so, and that we learn from a pasuk, a behemah tameya also is not Torah b'shchita. Or it says Gemara, we can learn Memetzinu from treifa, that treifa is also ba'achila, and behemah is asura ba'achila. So ma treifa shchita mitaharasa, behemah tameya came, meaning I could have gone in either direction. That's why I do need a pasuk, says the Medrash, Talmud Lomar, tameya mehem lachem, kalanogea behem yitma. That includes a behemah tameya, that shchita will not make it kosher. That's what the Rishonim of your quote from the Torah's Kohanim. So that's how I know that if you shecht an actual behemah tameya, the result is going to be a nevela. So what we're asking right now is, shouldn't we say the same thing when you shecht a treifa, that the result should be a nevela? Says Gemara, lo, you can't compare a behemah tameya to a treifa. When you shecht a pig was never kosher. The moment it was born, you knew it wasn't kosher. So when you shecht a pig, it's going to result in a nevela because it was never something that was ever subject to Shechita. It was never something that Shechita was ever in the picture for, was never in the plans for. Tomar b'treifa, sha'isala shasa kosher. But a treifa, when it was born, was a perfectly good animal. He had high hopes of being able to shecht it and eat it one day. So if you shechted it before it had become a treifa, it would be mutter b'achila, and certainly would not be a nevela. So you shecht it after it becomes a treifa. Granted, it's asur b'achila, but it should at least take away the status of nevela, meaning it should be included in the pasuk of the zavachta mibkarcho mitzonecha, where we learned earlier in the Masechta the din of shechita from. So even after it's nitrafa, it's still included in bakar v'tzon. It didn't lose its halacha of shechita as far as shechita being mitaher midei nevela. So it says Gemara tolcha mashe vesa. Take that svara of shas hakosher because it's an incorrect svara. How do I know it's an incorrect svara? Harisha nol de treifa min abeten minayin. Because even if you were to accept that svara, that would only explain why, when you shecht the treifa that was born kosher, that the shechita should be mitar midei nevela. What if an animal was born a treifa? What if it emerged min abeten as a treifa? So your svara is still not going to work because it never had a shasa kosher l'shechita. So it's considered like a behemah tamea, and the shechita should not help. And we know that that's not the din. The din is that even a treifa min abeten, if you do a shechita, the shechita will help. So says the Gemara, lo. You can't compare treifa to behemah tamea because im amarta behemah tamea shekein ein bemina shechita. It's not about this particular animal. It's about, does this min have shechita? So a pig, the answer is no. There's no shechita that's ever mitaher a pig midei nevela. So tomar b'treifa sheyesh b'mina shechita. But by treifa, at least the min of bakar v'tzon has shechita. So this particular bakar v'tzon happens to be a treifa, but b'mina shechita. So the Mishnah just adds that svara, a treifa is included in bakar v'tzon because it's yesh b'mina shechita, but an ubar that's in a behema chaya, ben shmona chai, ein shechita sum tarato, lefi shein bemino shechita. Ben shmona chadashim, that lives, that didn't finish its full gestational period that it needs in order to live, because the behema gasa, we assume, is 9 months, the Gemara tells them, Masechta Becharos. So if it's born in the 8th month, it's assumed not to be nigmar tsuraso, and it's considered, this is a sugi mesach Shabbos, because we say this by people also, that would have a status of muksa, that we assume that a baby born in the 8th month is unable to survive. Now, obviously, the miracles of modern medicine, that's no longer the case, but the Ben Shmona Chai, the Shechita would not be Mitar, because it's not yet included in Bakar V'tzon. It doesn't yet have the status of Bakar V'tzon. Okay, so now, says the Gemara, the Mishnah had told us that we have a basic machlok from Meir Lechamim, that an Aver emerged from the mother, and then you shechted the mother. Is that Aver Tameh or not? But everyone agrees that the basar of the Ubar is nitma as if it had touched the Aver, right? So it says, meaning it's just a question of what kind of tuma that is, tuma daraisa, tuma drabanan, but everyone agrees that whatever part of the fetus is still inside is viewed to have touched the Aver that has emerged. So amai, tumas beis hastarim hi, but tumas beis hastarim lamatama, that's a tuma that comes from touching it in a beis hastarim, meaning where it touched, it was covered up, because it was only touching the spot where you cut it, so it was covered by the whole outside of the animal. So says Gemara, lema rameir l'tameh. Maybe we could say that this Mishnah only fits the sheet of rameir, and this is rameir l'shitaso. Ditanan, because there is a Mishnah in the 27th parak of Maseches Kelim, that if you have a beged that's shlosha al shlosha, 3x3 tefachim, which is the shear that's needed in order to be mekabel tumas medris, if a zav sits on it, or rests, leans on it, shenechlak tohar, shenechlak, if you have a beged that's 3x3 tefachim, and then you cut it in half, tar min amidrus. It loses tumas midrus from that beged. Aval tamei maga midrus. But it's still tamei as if it touched a midrus. Why? It became a midrus dafka when it was the right size. Then you cut it. After that, it never touched another midrus. Yeah, but it touched itself. And that's considered maga midrus. Divra mein. Vitanya. And the Braisa tells us that not everyone agrees with that. Amar Rav Yosi, v'chibe is a midrus nagazeh. What midrus did it touch? Elshim naga bo zav. No, if at the time that the beged was shalei, and it was tami tumas medrus, a zav touched it, so after the zav was matami with medrus, he was also matami with maga, shei tami maga zav. It will lose its medrus status when you cut it, but it will retain the status of tumas maga hazav. So, lavit marala, So says the Gemara, no, what we're trying to suggest is that our Mishnah must follow Reb Meir, that even though it only touched while it was intact, and then you cut it, that's considered that it had touched. So says Mar Lavid Mar Allah Amar Ula Lo Shanu El Shlosh Al Shlosh Shnechlak Avul Shlosh Al Shlosh Habos Mi Beged Gadol. If you take a large beged and you cut off a piece that's 3x3 at Tzbaos, and you keep 3x3 Tzvachim on the larger beged, so the larger beged still has the status of Tumas Medris Bishas Pishas Meavian Mekabel Tuma Meavian. When you're cutting off that little piece from it, it's still going to be Mekabel Tuma from the larger beged. So Hanami. So here also Bishas Pishas Meaver Mekabel Tuma Meaver. Even Rabbi Yossi would agree that if the original thing is still Tameh, so when you cut off a piece from the original thing, then it still has a status of Maga. So the Gemara is going to have to explain why that is the case. What we've explained so far is that Rabbi Yossi's Shita can be the sheet of our Mishnah as well, based on the fact that when you cut a small piece off of a larger Tamei Beged, as long as that larger Tamei Beged remains Tamei, it's considered Maga. And then tomorrow we'll pick up with a second way of explaining how Rabbi Yossi fits very nicely with our Mishnah. We don't have to lock our Mishnah Dafka into Shitas Rabbi Meir.